We're so glad you're here. If you were here this morning, you know that I began a series entitled Unstoppable Worship, Unstoppable Worship, and I ministered on the altars and the altars. Tonight, I want to follow up with part two, the fire on the altar. How many knows that it's not a complete sacrifice until the fire has fallen? I believe that there was a song that once said, the fire will fall when the wood is wet. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to know that there's times that we are praying at that altar. How many know sometimes the fire don't come till we're so serious that the tears begin to flow, and that we actually are not begging God, but we are saying, Lord, I am so sincere with it that I've got to see a move of God. I've got to see God's hand. I've got to see your answer from heaven. I need an answer today. Hallelujah. Daniel was so impressed by the fact that he needed an answer from heaven. He was so concerned about it that when he prayed, he said, I'm going to use one of my tools. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to acquire something. I'm going to cause angelic activity. He didn't know that it was going to what it was going to take, but he knew, I'm going to fast and pray until the answer comes. And that fasting and prayer put some fire on it. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, can't stop me. I'm an unstoppable worshiper. Matter of fact, it is said of Polycarp, which was actually the protege to John the Revelator. And he had one of those weird Greek names, praise the Lord. And so at age 86, they decided they'd drag him out and they would wrap him up at the stake, and they were going to burn him at the stake for serving Jesus. Yeah, you know, it wasn't just in the Bible. There were those that paid a price also. But what happened was that he was so giving God praise and worship that the fires would actually abate away from him while he was praising. The fire backed up. They came and put more fuel on it, and he turned the praise and the worship up while he is hanging on that cross, while he's hanging on that area to be burned. And so they had to come and had to run him through with a spear and had to cut him so that he would stop praising and worshiping God, for he could not be burned until the fire that he had was silenced. I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children. They were young men, but they were thrown into the fire. Matter of fact, the king said, if you do not bow to the idol of worship that I've set up, when the music plays, and then I'm going to put you in this fire. I'm going to heat it seven times hotter. Just means you'll get the message, as if the fire wasn't already hot enough. Seven times hotter means you're only going to burn faster if you get thrown in. But the three young men said, doesn't matter whether you heat it up or not, king, we're not going to bow and we're not going to serve. You can crank up the music until it is loud and pumping, but we're not going to follow your rhythm. We're not going to follow your beat, because you see, we only bow to the Most High God. We only bow to the King of Israel, the God of Israel. We only bow to one, and we refuse to bow to any other. And so they bound them up and threw them in, and the men that threw them in got burned up by the backlash of the fire. And the king wanted to look to see if they'd been burned up and learned their lesson. But when he looked into the furnace, he saw four. And he said to his right-hand man, didn't we throw three in that fire? Said, yes, O king, we threw three. Then how come I see four men walking around not having any damage? And the fourth you on looks like the Son of Man. Hallelujah, I'm here to tell you that if you already know that there's a fire on your altar, you are children of the fire. And whatever the enemy dishes out, you have a greater fire than what he's got. Say, I'm an unstoppable worshiper. There's fire on my altar. Hallelujah. This morning we learned that Elijah's altar was a national showdown. And I believe there's coming a time that there's going to be some national showdowns. Some people will backlash and they will say, well, people are praying. Why is there not certain things that are done? See, because you see, one, prayer and the intensity of prayer, the fervency of prayer, and the right kind of prayer. That when you begin to ask for God's supernatural help, one, you have to believe in the supernatural. You have to believe in signs and wonders. For how can you call upon God in an emergency situation having not believed in signs and wonders and asking for a sign and a wonder? How can you refuse God and go do anything you want to do and then call upon a God that you've kicked out of the nation and then call him and then tell him, why have you allowed this to happen? No, it's because somebody kicked him out. He said, oh, you want chaos? Go ahead. But there are people who are going to get on their face before God and are going to cry out at an altar again. And they know that they're going to speak to heaven. See, a lot of times people are just begging instead of beseeching. When you beseech, you're going forth with a petition. You're pleading a case. You're not begging. My children are not beggars. They do not have to beg for bread. But when you understand that you're talking to your daddy, who's also the head judge, who is the God over everything, that you're expecting something supernatural, you beseech God until you get the gavel from heaven and a word of God comes, and then you herald that word, you declare that word, and you defy the enemy with that word. I don't like confrontation. Well, you better get ready, because you're in the wrong line of work. Wrong line of belief. Because passive Christians, casual Christians, prophet said, become casualties. And if you didn't know, we're at war. See, I took a hit even here at Eagle Heights Worship Center because I preach about the war fair that's going on. Well, we don't want to hear all the war. We want to hear the blessings. See, the blessings of spoil comes after you win the war. You got to take some victories. See, as long as you're still struggling with trying to get a victory, you don't even know what blessings you've got access to. But as soon as you know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer. He's made you the head and not the tail. He said, I will lift you up. You can run into my fortress and the enemy shall not come against you. You can call for angelic reinforcements. You can call for the power, the supernatural power of God to show up. How about prophetic people that'll point at a missile and say, in the name of Jesus, I reroute your guidance system supernaturally, and you must go back from where it was fired. And all of a sudden it turns around and heads back to the base from which it was fired. So I don't know if God's that strong enough, then you don't really believe. If the God of matter, who created matter, is still the creator, he can speak to the matter because it has its voice print in it. Plutonium has its voice print, God's voice print in it. All of the metal has God's voice print in it. And all God has to do is speak to it. Well, understand this, that he gave us dominion in the earth. And if he spoke to us, we speak to it with the voice of God. And it must obey us. If the wind and the waves must obey, then so does metal. And so does anything else have to obey. People say, well, I don't know if I understand that. See, in the 1950s, while the great tent revivals were going on, there were people that didn't like the gospel back then, didn't like people getting saved. And they pointed guns at preachers. But there was so much power in the preaching that the paths of bullets would be changed. Guns would be jammed. Even as they walked down the aisle with a gun. Hallelujah. The men of God would strike up their hand and the person would freeze by the angelic force and could not pull the trigger there. And couldn't pull it. A man came up in my daddy's meetings, all 6'8" of him. He had already made havoc of two other sissy preachers. And they had already been run out of town. He was there to break up revivals. And he was coming up the road. And the Holy Spirit said to my dad, he said, don't touch him. I got this one. The Lord said, don't touch him. I got this one. And that big old man got just past the front. And my dad lifted up his hand and said, Lord, he's all yours. And bam, that sinner man went down to the floor and couldn't get up. Hallelujah. And afterwards, they were praying for all the mothers. Started praying for him. Everybody praying for him. And he'd never had anything happen like that before. And he gave his heart and life to the Lord. After the service, he'd come up himself and his big old self, head hung down. He said, preacher, I just got to ask you one thing. Where did you hide the baseball bat you hit me with? Because that's what I felt. I felt somebody hit me up the backside of my head and knock me down. Missionaries that were pulled over by banditos in Mexico. God raised up more than 1,000 people that night that heard the call in the Spirit. And they began to go to prayer for those that they were backing. Said, and the Spirit of the Lord said, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. People got up out of their beds and began to pray, not even knowing that each other had been called to the prayer. But afterwards, they found out. And through that much prayer, what happened was people with machine guns came up and they were coming with Bibles and they were coming with other things. He told his family to hide in the back of the bus, and the preacher went out to the forward to deal with the jeeps that had the guns and the people with the machine guns that were there. And the power of God showed up, and when he did, all of a sudden, one by one, every gunman hit the floor and dropped their guns. And they didn't do it of their own free will. They got slapped down. The man with the machine gun on the top of the jeep was not clean off of the jeep. And down, and they began to say, what's going on? What's going on? And the one man says in the language, there are invisible people here that are fighting for this man. Let's get out of here. Angels had came and started just slapping people down. That's not even in the Bible. What's in the Bible was that the king began to pray and the prophet began to pray and God sent an angel. And one night through the Assyrian army, 185,000 came up dead the next morning because one angel slapped the life completely out of them. The reason why we don't see what we don't have is because we don't believe that he can do it. Once you believe, you can have what you believe for. So you have to either hear the stories or have experienced it or hang around somebody who already believes that. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you got to hang around the folks that believe God can. Because you're going to need God to do something sometime. Elijah was up against everybody else. It was so much of an alone stand, he thought he was the only prophet. He didn't have no fire. By fact, he said that you don't you put no fake fire underneath yours. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Somebody say, yes, he is. See, originally, the fire that would come upon the altar of worship and sacrifice had to come from heaven. As men began to walk further and further away from the Lord, the fire only showed up on the altars from heaven at certain times. Covenant time, Abram, the smoldering started happening upon the altar of covenant, and he began to pass through the flame areas because God cut the covenant and began to put it himself. Matter of fact, there were people that said, you know what, I'm not going to self-produce a fire. I'm not going to self-produce a movement. I'm not going to self-produce excitement. We're going to cry out before the Lord till God starts doing something. When people start showing up and saying, I saw fire on top of the building and I had to come see it. God spoke to me in other states and I had to come where the fire of God is at. I began to hear the voice of the Lord said, get to Springfield, get to Springfield, get to Springfield. And they say, where in the world is Springfield, Lord? Look it up, Springfield, Missouri, so you don't up in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hallelujah. And so the fire had to be from heaven. It was God's answer by fire. Now, two guys decided they'd try some strange fire. They got all drunk and everything and decided they'd bring their own fire, their fireworks, their firecrackers, their torches, everything in. And they would light the fire in the presence of God, that they would do it their way. And as I had ministered times before when I ministered on it, they came out a little crispy fried. Because before that they could get into the holiest of God, the fire come up off of the Ark of the Covenant and fried them to a crisp. What happened was their strange fire invoked confrontation with the fire that God has. For it recorded, the writer records in Hebrews that my God is a consuming fire. Moses learned that the Lord showed up in a fiery bush that was not even being consumed as a sign and a wonder. That the Lord many times uses fire, but he don't like strange fire. Because strange fire is not from God. The fires that cause people to wreck churches is not from God. The fires that cause jealousy and disbelief is not from God. The fire of a tongue, as James said, the fires of hell upon a tongue that begin to cause all sorts of separation and disunity is strange fire. Turn to somebody and say, keep the strange fire out. Strange fire is produced or mixed with fleshly works. Strange fire is contrary to God's character. And strange fire is dangerous to the very health and well-being of unity. But I got to ask a question about real fire. Why does God Almighty deal in fire? Because our God is a consuming fire. The fire is found in many descriptions of God and around God. Day of Pentecost, flames of fire. He will come that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire, not with ice. Fire, not icicles. The Lord never baptizes in cold stuff. Although you thought the baptismal pool should have been heated, I understand. And it was a little cool when you got in. But see, when you're on fire, you should heat it on up. By about the fourth time getting somebody baptized by the fourth person, it should already be heated up. All you got to do is just get a bunch of folks who are on fire for God into an auditorium, and you can't even keep control of the heat and the air properly because you could set... I've been into places at Kenton meeting and set it at 60 degrees. The first person that walks in, they're shivering, and the ushers have to say, you got to understand, it'll heat up in just a moment. Because when you get a bunch of people in here praising God, all that cold air is not going to be here no more. There's going to be a whole lot of raising of the heat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are thinking right now of some areas where God spoke of his fire? Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. It said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried with fire, in the fire, that you may be rich. Matter of fact, it is that I believe it was Peter that said that you should count yourself blessed to be tried by various types of trials. Because in those trying of your faith comes out more precious than pure gold. That when you go through the things that are fiery. See, some people don't like fire because we've been trained to move away from it, except when we're roasting marshmallows. Then we like to get a little closer, or we're too cold, we like to get warmed up. We like to use fire in the wintertime for our furnaces, as long as it's controlled, as long as we have, because fire by itself without a path or control can be very destructive. And we understand that it breathes the same oxygen we do. So if you get caught in a fire and it breathes it up before you do, you will suffocate. It has fuel. It gets moving. Fire is has the same characteristics of what we're supposed to do in our love with God and our relationship with God. So why is it that people go hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold? It's because your feelings and emotions are hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. But the Spirit of God is always on fire. So preacher, how do I know when I'm in my feelings? Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. How do I know when I'm in the Spirit? On fire, on fire, on fire, on fire, on fire, on fire, on fire. How do I know my flesh has got in? Going cold. It's like that little game as you get closer to where something is. Oh, you're getting hotter. You're getting warmer, warmer, hotter, hot, 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 hot. Colder, colder, colder. The closer you get to God, the hotter you get. If you're starting to get cold, it's because some things are now occupying your focus and causing you to slowly move. It's called the drift. And if you get caught in the drift, you will go over the rapids and not even know that you were in harm's way. You've got to stay in the path of God and not drift. Somebody say it's dangerous to drift. My daddy used to say this. He said, any old dead fish can float on downstream, but it takes a live one to swim upstream. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15 says, fire in the judgment time, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. And the Lord said, he didn't say the quality of work. He didn't say how much work. He said, fire. I'm going to put fire to everything we thought we did for God and what we thought was our works. The Lord's going to take the embodiment of our life, the embodiment of our work. Now, the decision for Jesus Christ, that's salvation. But he's going to take the embodiment of the work. The 18 people we didn't testify to and they split hell wide open. Compared to the one. Did you know that only 3% of Christians ever get a single soul saved in their lifetime? That all the churches spend on outreaches and touching people's life, that right now it takes $100,000 to win one soul. Because people aren't soul winners. They don't mix soul winning with the clothing giveaway. They don't put do soul winning with the food giveaways. They don't put do soul winning with the track. Here's a track. I did my duty. They don't produce souls at work. They don't produce souls in their family. They don't produce souls anywhere. They come to church and they come to church and they come to church and they come to church, come to church and come to church until they are saying, I'm not being fed, because they're so full and not given to anybody else. Fire will reveal what kind of work that we have done. How many knows that fire will make quick work of straw and hay and stubble? But fire has a little trouble trying to burn up stone and brick. Fire, when you place it to gold, burn it up, can only purify it. Did you know that every single molecule of gold that's ever been in this planet, on this planet, beneath this planet, it's still here? Because it cannot be burned up. Matter of fact, there's little specks in our overall system, and this is scientifically proven. There's little specks in a sun, our sun, that produces from hydrogen and is slowly burning to some helium, that there are little specks of gold, God's signature print, in the sun. It's called elemental transfer of density. It's not supposed to happen until we start to see the shrinking of a sun down, and then you start to see iron and you start to see other elements beginning to attract together and getting heavier. But yet our instruments show us that there's little specks all throughout the sun of gold that ain't even supposed to be there, but it can't burn up even in the heat of the sun. So the Lord said, if your faith is tried like fire, no matter what fire you go through, if you don't break your faith cannot be burned up. If you don't throw away your faith will always remain. It just gets purer and purer. And so what kind of karat gold do we use for jewelry, Jeff? Yeah, 14, 24, and the higher the level, the softer that it gets, right? And so 28 is the softest gold that we possibly know about, and you can't even put it in jewelry because it gets so soft, you have to have other alloys with it. But purest refined gold is found in the book of Revelation. Tried by fire, the Lord said, I'm not going to use cement, tar, or any other type of thing for you to walk on. I'm going to use pure gold that's so purified it looks like glass, but it's really gold. And it ain't hard. Because if, as it gets refined, it gets softer. The Lord has already paved the streets of the new city with gold so soft, it's like memory recovery Charmin to walk on. You can go barefoot in heaven and have no orthopedic problems. Hallelujah. what happens is when you are going through the fire, and it's not comfortable, it's not something that everybody says, yeah, just put me through the fire, put me through the test. Oh, yeah, we sang it. I want to be tried by fire and step out the door. No, I don't. Your desire till the door's shut. Huh? Because then it comes. And when it comes, you got to be able to know, I asked for it. But as I am tried by fire, I become more transparent for the things of God. Shout hallelujah, I'm more transparent. Ooh, glory to God. See, if you're more transparent, people can see more of him than you. Let's look at the rest of the scripture. Since that can't be three verses. Somebody said that can't be three verses. You're right. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. The fire what? Shows value. What shows value? Not the work. The work doesn't show the value till it's been tried in the fire. The fire is the revealer of the value of the work. Because God is eternal, he is burning up temporary and looking for eternal substance. Because we're connected to eternity, how much eternal substance was in our work? How many people's faith was brought to a new level in Christ because of us? How many's lives were caused to get closer to Christ because of us? What work did we do that did this? He's not going to look and say the body of men of the work and how many PhDs you've got and how much this you've got and that you've got, because that's your dealing with men. He's going to say in your dealing with men, even though you had all this money, the money has no value if you haven't brought it to reveal some kind of eternal value, because the fire cannot stop the eternal. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved. Somebody say, Bob. Bob the builder will be saved. But it'll be like someone barely escaping the flames, because he'll have nothing to show of his work. Let us reevaluate just for a moment what we spend so much time on. I'm going to show you some of the things that have eternal value. And it's a real long word, real long word, long word, it's a short word. Relationships. Relationships are one of the greatest values. All you got to do is ask somebody who's been through a near-death experience, that's gone to the hospital and has come back, and the first thing they ask for is their relationships. They requalify their relationships. They're not looking at their bank account. They're not worried about their medical bills. They're not worried about it. If they have gone into and touched eternity and come back, their only main focus is relationships. Do I have the right relationships? Have I entreated people and told people that I love them and they are valued in my life? Or have I taken them for granted that it's just everything just going through the motions and we're trying to gain everything else and not appreciate relationships? So the Lord goes back and he says, here's how love works. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What is he talking about? Love produces relationships. Now, the relationship with God is an eternal relationship. We understand that. But he's also saying that there are some eternal relationships with other people. Matter of fact, he said, make friends with mammon, that in the time of trouble and time, you will make a friend and someone will be there and it will last eternally. There are some friendships, you don't even know how God is using them. But there are people that are watching because you were kind and you were Christ-like. And you just didn't snub up your nose at somebody who wasn't just like you. But you reached out beyond all the walls and you did what Jesus did. And you kept reaching as Jesus did. It's going to impact somebody's life with a seed eternally. That's how powerful relationships are. Turn to somebody and say, there's fire on the altar. Fire represents God's presence. Whenever God was present, there was a fire. There was some kind of kindling. It also represents the passion for God. That when somebody is on fire and they're passionate for God, you do not have to promise them a steak dinner to get them to church. If you have to keep pumpity, pumpity, humpity, pumpity, 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 here's a gift, there's a gift, I'll spend my time with you to get them to come worship, they are not of the same kind of what God wants in the house. I'm going to preach this message back again because you see, it did not matter about COVID and the pandemic. I needed my relationship with God. Not a relationship with the television and just a relationship with online. I needed a touch from God. And then that led me to need a touch of being in the corporate to be able to be where God is. But the shame is that 30% of those who call themselves Christians through the COVID pandemic will never walk through a church door again. That's the numbers of the latest opinion. 30% of five say bye-bye. We either got to pray that God reignite the fire of their love because they have bought into the thing of I can. I'm not talking about folks that have still got some health issues and they got to work through it. I'm talking about general people who could be. Here's a general rule also. It's called the 3-second rule. 99.9% of people who say they're in church for the video spend 3 seconds and leave. And scant. 3 seconds. On their home church video, if they ever click it. When they're in church, they stay for the whole service. But when they're at home, they don't stay. They go get a sandwich. They go flip through the channels. They get bored because there's a devil trying to get them away from what God called them to. And I'm not going to be eating a bologna salami sandwich with no devil trying to get me away from the power of God. And that's why you're here tonight. And that's why people are watching at 4 o'clock in the morning over on the other side of this planet. It's because there's still a people who are hungry and got a fire passion for God. Hallelujah. Fire on your altar represents the purity of God at work in us. Go ahead, Lord, purify me. I know you're working on me. I know there's some things that I'm not perfect yet, but I'm serving a perfect risen Savior who I want to be exactly like, and I want to become more like him than ever before. I will not excuse my shortcomings, but I will get on an altar and say, Lord, burn that thing out of me. I give it to you. I want you more than I want that. Fire represents God's love and power. God's love for you and his power in your life. God's judgment and punishment. How many would like to have that love and power? Then I will move to judgment and punishment. Did you know that the same fire of God, it depends upon where you're at? If you're a child of God, you get the love and power, mercy and grace. But if you're an enemy of God, you get judgment and punishment. What does that tell you? That if I am a child of God doing everything that I know how to do and I'm safe within him and he's working on me and I got a relationship, then my enemies better watch out. Because my enemies are God's enemies. Especially if God's enemies are my enemies. So I go through the Bible and find out who his enemies are. His enemies are the ones who try to take his people away from him. He said, I'm a jealous God with righteous jealousy because there are people, there are things and false gods that try to take my people away from a relationship with me. That's where he gets upset. You shall have no other gods before me. Now that works for us. How many goes, that works for us? We're good with that. Huh? Have you noticed that the folks that have trouble with the Ten Commandments, one, they have trouble with being commanded at all. Yeah. And two, I have to ask them, which one of the commandments don't you like? The somebody stealing from you commandment? The somebody stealing your wife commandment? The somebody lying on you commandment? The somebody dishonoring your parents commandment? Which one don't you like? You know which ones they don't like? Honoring the Sabbath? And love the Lord and make sure that God is the only one and don't use his name in vain. anything that has to do with God. That proves that they don't have a relationship with God. They need one. You can pray for them, that the God will wrestle with them in their dreams. God will wrestle with them at night. Don't let them sleep. Let them have insomnia and always see God, 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 God. One lady, she started praying for her grandson, and she said, I'm so tired of him being on drugs. Lord Jesus, I've been praying for him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to him to see Jesus on every bumper sticker, Jesus on every billboard, Jesus everywhere. He turns the TV on, see Jesus. When he says here, they see Jesus. Every time somebody cusses and says your name in vain, he just hears Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it wasn't long till he was coming home and giving his heart and life to the Lord, because grandma changed the way she prayed, and she put the with love and power. Hallelujah. God's fire is a purifying agent. Somebody say, it purifies me. All right, let's go to the seven fires of a true revival, true altar. Seven fires of a true altar. One is the fire of the Holy Ghost. You don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost in these last days, you're not going to be able to handle what's going on. Matter of fact, Holy Ghost-filled people should be able to handle more than non-Holy Ghost-filled people. We got a little quiet. I got two amens. If you got the fire and somebody else didn't got the fire, they're going to get colder faster than you do. You're going to be able to change chemical structures with the fire that they can't do. You're going to be able to back off wolves they can't do. You're going to be able to sear snakes right in the mouth with the fire that they can't do. If you got fire, you got a whole lot of power. So that's why they call it firepower. Somebody say the Holy Ghost is firepower. Unity with God in the Holy Spirit in Revelation 4 and 5 says, out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of, not pixie dust, fire. Not fantasy, fire. Fire. In the book of Revelation, he's looking into heaven, he's looking at the throne of God, and he sees fire, lamps of fire burning before the throne. Now, does God need the fire to see? No, because he's light. He don't need fire to see. There ain't no way the light, because the Bible says that even the city does not need light, because the Father and the Lamb are the light unto the city. They are forever beaming out of the glory, and you don't even need other light than him. That's what the whole secret of the holiest of holies was, because on the outside was natural light. The holy place was produced light on the candlesticks. When you go in the holiest of holies, there was not allowed any other light but God. Ooh, hallelujah. And they are the seven spirits of God. Say, the completeness of the Holy Spirit is lamps of fire. And when you have that, you're before the throne. Number two, the fire of the love of God, of intimacy and a passion, causes our hearts to burn within us. Even the fire that increases our love for God. How do I know that somebody has their altar right? Because their love doesn't decrease. Their honor for God doesn't decrease. They don't all of a sudden forget and start shooting spit wads and throwing bubble gum at the preacher and be an adult. What happens is that fire begets a stronger urge for more. It stretches your capacity. You cannot put fire to any material without it beginning to get more pliable and begin to move. Even some of the harder objects begin to soften and begin to move apart. The molecules begin to stretch. And that's what God does when he puts love in your heart. You begin to stretch. He stretches your capacity to be able to hold more, to be able to witness more, to be able to love more, to be able to do more. Turn to somebody and say, I'm only going to get my capacity wider from here. Fill me up with your overflow, because I'm not a little bitty tea cup. What happens when you went from a teacup to a cup, to a half gallon, to a gallon, and now you're a big 55 gallon barrel? I'm just so dissatisfied. Because what used to overflow you doesn't anymore. Try to fill you to overflow with a little teacup, because that's all we could handle back then. Brand new babies, you don't feed them a full steak and potatoes and dessert and cheesecake right when they come out of mama's womb. They start measuring the number of ounces of mama's milk that they can take. And that looks, if you can, progress of how that they are growing and their capacity is growing. And then pretty soon they see, well, if you can handle that much milk and it's not satisfying you and you're growing to, see, the dissatisfaction is your growth. It's your growth for more, that pretty soon then we got to give you oatmeal and we got to give you baby food or whatever food, and we got to give you applesauce and smashed up green beans, and we got to get your going because you need more fuel than the milk. And then pretty soon you can cut your teeth, because teeth come in, cut your teeth on the meat. Glory to God. Turn to somebody and say, I've grown enough, I got to have me some meat. The fire that increases our love. Somebody say number three. The fire of God's word to us. It's like a light. And the prophet said this: I tried to shut my mouth. I tried to be like everybody else, because every time I opened my mouth, I would speak the word of God and they'd put me in prison. I think it was Jeremiah, wasn't it? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Every time he would speak, thus saith the Lord, they'd throw him in prison. And then they'd forget he's there. And he'd spend time in there in prayer. And they'd bring the prophet out. I don't know what he has to say, because he's going to say something that's contrary to what I want and everything, because, you know. So give me the false prophets to tell me what I want to hear, and itch my ears, right? So I can run to all the conferences and get the right word. But bring the old prophet out. Thus saith the Lord. They are coming from the east, and God has already said they shall overcome you. Babylon is coming and you cannot stop it. Threw him back in prison. God brought the Babylonians to get him out and say, you're the only one in this entire nation has a real God in you. You pick where you want to go. All the rest of them, we're going to choose where they go, captives or outcasts. But you alone, because you have God in your voice. But before he got that to where the enemies of Israel would say, you're the only one with God in your voice. Isn't it strange that the devil knows who has God's voice in their mouth? That through all of this, he just said, I'm done. Father, I am done. Done, triple D, done. I'm zipping it. Ain't telling them. You can tell me all you want to, but I ain't saying nothing again. I'm tired of prison. I'm tired of this slop they say is food. I'm tired of this cold and these rats in here. I'm tired of all this, and I am done. I've cried so many tears that it's permanently wet in this cell. I am done, double D, done. But then he said, but your word was like a fire shut up in my bones that I could not restrict it anymore. That the more I tried to pull it back, the more it came forth with power. That's how you know somebody has got the word in them. It will come forth. If the enemy tries to poke you, the word comes out. He tries to run over you, the word comes out. He tries to attack you, the word comes out. That's how you know somebody has got the fire of the word. In Psalms, he says like this in Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word lights things up for me like a fire. Somebody say number four. Millennials don't even know what this word means. A lot of church folk don't know what this word means. Why? Because this word meant you can't wear lipstick, and the guys can't have hair touch their ears, and the women, they got to have long hair down, you know, Rapunzel, let down your hair, and you got to look as ugly as you can to be holy. It's because people went to the outside rather than allowing God to do something on the inside, and we lost the real meaning of what holiness is. Holiness is a burning desire to do all God requires. It's being so in love with him and so reverent of him that whatever he asks, you do because you're set aside for him. So if the world asks you to do something, hey, let's go fishing. Let's go to the NFL game. Hey, let's go here. But God says, let's go to church. You're going to church. Holiness brings you always to what God's doing. It's a lifestyle pattern of accurate obedience. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Therefore, Paul says to the church at Corinth, which is bathed in false pagan worship of Greek and Roman mythology. Therefore, since we have these promises from God, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body. What? If you know that there is a food that makes you sick, stop eating it. Holiness. If there's something that's contaminating you, stop doing it. Holiness. And your spirit. If there's something you know always gets you in the wrong spirit, that's contamination. Monday morning, I ran into Billy Bob, and Billy Bob had a bad thing to tell me, and it got on me because I like to listen to negativity, and now I'm contaminated. Purify the ears and stop the gossips. Perfecting, because if we purify ourselves from the things that contaminate the body and the spirit, we are perfecting holiness. Out of reverence for God. Because who made this body? God did. And we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who made our spirit? God did. Because we were spiritually dead till we come to Christ. Holiness. Holiness by which no man can see God. It is the mechanism to see. If I want to see, I've got to have more holiness. If I can't see God, I need to get rid of the contaminations because the contaminations are causing cataracts on my eyes. The contamination are causing impurities and filters and past things. And I can't see right because I still got my sunglasses on from the abuse from 17 years ago. I've got things that are contaminating me and I can't see God correctly. But holiness... God. From willingness to follow Christ in all things, with all of our heart, it produces the wonder, the awe, and the reverential fear of God, and it puts that back into our worship. So our worship doesn't become follow along and do the karaoke in church. So we see the words, and we see the bouncing thing, and we have the praise team leading, and we just follow the words. That's just karaoke church. But when you engage your spirit, and the meaning of the words comes up and draws you into his presence, and then his power comes upon you, you know that you have the right altar in the presence of God, and you hunger for it, and you can't help yourself but have to pursue after him. Do you know every time that I have sat back, I just don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel like praising today. Whew, got a fever, struggling with stuff. Now, I know there's times when you're in a hospital room and you're so sick you can't praise yourself, praise the Lord. I understand that. I'm talking about capability, but just watch. That it's not God who shows up. When I sit back and do not pursue God, for it says those who draw nigh unto me, I draw nigh unto them. When I sit and do nothing, I draw a different spirit. Something else comes to talk with me. Something else comes to produce something in my ears. And pretty soon, it'll kick me and attack me, and then I realize the devil is over here. I need to get back over to God. But if I'm always pursuing God, no matter what, he will give me the way to overthrow my enemy every single time. He will put people in my path that have wisdom, that have understanding, that have knowledge beyond what I knew before. That I can listen to that wise words that God has given. Maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a preacher, maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking through the word. But I will have a different dimension because I've got new revelation. My dad used to say to me, he said, and I didn't catch it at first, Sister Katisha, and my wife will verify, I was a talker because I didn't get much attention and I liked attention. And I just talked, and nobody even knew who she was because I was doing all the talking. After all, I met him for the first time. I had a whole lot of stories to tell him for the first time so they get to know me. I want you to know me because I'm so low in self-esteem. And then it dawned on me after I started to mature, my dad said, if you listen to what other wise people say, you will know what they know and what you know. And if you do what they say, you'll become wiser because you know both. So it's not out of giving away everything you've got, because I found out if you can give away to people who don't want it, they'll throw it down like trash and walk right off. That's why some people say, how come I haven't ever received nothing from you, apostle, other than just in the pulpit? You never ask. If you don't pursue and ask things, questions produce answers. I have to tell myself that. So I'm in an era. I got to produce some questions. I need to ask some questions. My wife says, would you please ask some questions? Would you please do that? Okay. Do you know why sometimes that even I get a little tentative about asking a question of somebody who knows more than I do? Because I don't want to look stupid. What is that? Pride. I don't want to be embarrassed because at almost 60, I should know more than I know. Pride. What if they reject me because it doesn't sound educational, it doesn't sound at their level? Pride. How are you going to get there if you ask, what's the path to get there? See, I can't see through the thicket right now. What's the path to get there? Go, okay, when I do, hey, I'm there. Nah, they don't know what they're talking about. They just happen to be float up there, and God just put them up there. Just go, oh, I just don't. No, I think that I will just do it my way. And that usually gets me not any further than what I know. It's for all of us. But when you have a life of holiness, you're distinct from this world. You're not mixed up in it. Number five, and I'm going to bring it home. Five, the fire of worship and prayer, that fervent, fiery prayer, it avails much. That's the one who said over and over and over and over, so I release this, I proclaim this, I declare this. This is what God said over and over. What are you doing? You are chiseling away at the thing that doesn't want to move, and sometimes you have to hammer it. I saw a video of, and this is what sometimes the prayer and worship does, a great big rock that was in the way, and a guy, he put a bunch of nails and he tacked a bunch of these spikes from the top to the bottom, and he hit one. He worked all day, and the upper ones he had to jump up and hit. And nobody helping him. He has taken this smaller sledgehammer, and with everything he's got, boom, boom, he's standing, he's wiping the sweat off. He takes a drink of water, and he jumps back in. But after so many hits, a crack starts developing in that boulder, which even a regular bulldozer could not have moved. And by the time he gets done driving those spikes into the surface, the entire rock cracks in two. And now he has a path through that. I looked at that and I said, Lord. The Lord said, and that's how you got to hit it in prayer. And you hit it and you hit it and you hit it till it cracks. Because you're not going to crack because you got fire on the altar. The fire of purity and power, it purges, it energizes, it increases, it releases power, fire power that punishes your enemies and releases the works of God through your life. Shout number seven. The fire of ministry. Number seven is a fire of ministry. Not work and not a career, rather a calling, a life assignment. Yes. Gifts to give. God gives you gifts not to make you big, to make you give. The gifts of the Spirit are for you to give. And you need someone else to give the gift back to you. So what good does it do if I can prophesy to everybody and never receive any prophecy of my own? So says, well, prophesy to yourself. I can declare to myself what God has said, but I got to have somebody else also receive a word. So I got prayer cover for everybody else. I need someone to prayer cover for me, right? And mantled. And I believe God's people need to know what they're mantled for. When you have the fire of ministry, yes, there's going to be times that there's so much in the fire, so many irons in the fire, you don't know how to work it, and God has to help you prioritize. Yes, sometimes that you start to have what they call burnout. Burnout means you haven't spent enough time with the altar for God to increase the fire. And so the zeal of God goes out if you don't have the fire. But if you have the fire of God, the zeal of God to bring him glory. One thing, turn to somebody and say, I got to bring him glory. Not God, I got a battle, but battle, you've got a battle with my God. To bring him souls. Somebody say, to bring him souls. And to be a serving son that's administering the gifts of God to others. Let's say that again. The zeal of God. To bring him glory. To bring him souls. And to be a serving son administering the gifts of God to others. Fire of worship becomes unquenchable and unstoppable through the seven fires upon the altar. As the praise team comes, I just want to encourage you with one more statement. Let the fire of your worship burn and the flames of renewal blaze brighter. There is no indicator other than our love for God. My best worship is not dependent upon how many people are present. My best worship is a relationship with God. My zeal for ministry is not with it. See, because I closed down my Sunday school class because I only had one, and I got rebuked by my pastor. He said, if you've got one, you minister to them as if there are 100. Because you don't know what God's impact to that one is going to be. I mean, sometimes it's about the one. That one person coming to Christ. It's about that next moment. Right when you felt like quitting. There's a song that says, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. That next step will be your breakthrough. Keep renewing the fires. Could we stand to our feet and just worship the Lord and say, Lord, put the fire on my altar brighter and brighter. Burn brighter in me, Lord. Holiness, word, love of God. Ministry, worship and prayer. Purity and power. Light the fire. Stronger and stronger in me. Reach up and love on him just for the next few minutes. Reach up and love on him. He's setting you up. You're going to need some firepower for this next week. God could put somebody right in your path. You need to pray so that God will get the glory and God will release a gift to them. It could be their soul that's weighing in the balance. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Lord. I know
no one worship you for me.
To hear what you're saying to the church by your Holy Spirit. Because in worship, our ears come open. In worship, our eyes come open. In worship, we can see clear. In worship, we can hear. Lord, to bring you glory, to bring you souls, and to minister gifts to others. I heard him speak, and he wants us in this worship to see another type of worship too, to go and release and pray for someone else and bless them. Because when you bless God's kids, you're blessing God. And in turn, he said, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. If the gifts are for someone else, that means there's a gifting in you right now that's for somebody else in this house. And I want you to hear from the Lord and look around the room and say, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to pray with? And attach my faith to theirs. And in return, when you give, they're going to pray with you. And both are going to get a gift. Would you begin to do that? I know my assignment. As we sing it through one more time. yes, 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 yes.
Is he my worship? All of my worship.
Declare that breakthrough.
Here is my worship.
Declare that visitation.
All of my worship.
Declare more souls. Declare their healing.
All of my worship. Here is my worship.
Here is my worship.
All of my worship. Receive my worship.
All
of my worship.
I speak right now to my namesake, little Donald Moasa, who was named after me. I come against every spirit of infirmity, everything that would try to come against his body in the name of Jesus. You tried to take me out when I was little, and it did not work because I had praying parents. Right now, by the power of the Most High God, I command every spirit of infirmity, everything that's trying to attack your body, to get out in the name of Jesus. And I declare the supernatural power and healing of the Lord Jesus Christ to him right now, to your body. Rise up in strength and health in the name of Jesus. Somebody worship. Every time that you call my name, I will be right there to refuel you and to strengthen you. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Leave this realm.
All right.
That which they mocked and they thought was odd, you see as special. And because of that, the Lord said, I grant you the anointing and the added of the mantle. It shall not be dropped.
Whoa.
There shall be an increased power in your prayer. An increased anointing. anointing in your battlement. More armor comes to you right now. Right now.
I will not be silent. I will always worship you.
I will always be
loved. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship.
My sister, I just saw in the spirit, heard him say a new joy. And then I looked over and I saw you just there worshiping. But I saw you giggling. God said, I'm sending some things that are going to make you happy. A new joy. Because you've waded through a lot of stuff and you're still willing to worship and love on me. So I got some of the rest of it. I'm changing. Woo. Come here. Said, I'm changing it up. I'm changing it up. I'm changing it up. And I'm going to send you some things that are going to breathe. New joy, new joy, new joy, new joy. From me to you, says the Lord. Somebody give God praise. Come on, come on.
Yeah, dance with me.
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 Dance with me. Dance with me. Dance with me. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship.
Say right before I came down, he said, he just said this, birthday gift. So it ain't from me, it's from him. It's from God. It says, from God to Megan, happy birthday. Something's about ready to open that is a gift from God. A gift from God. Worship the Lord.
Here is my worship.
Here is my worship.
All of my worship.
My worship.
Receive my worship.
Oh, yeah.
All of my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship.
So fill me to overflowing, Lord, that whoever you put in my path, I'll be able to give from the gifts of the Spirit, from that which you've given me, there'll be an overflow. Take the manna that you've given me, multiply it to meet every need, till they're all filled. If you send three people, Lord, let there be enough, four people, five people, let there be enough, multiply it. So they know that you are a risen Savior who cares. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Let's just lift up our hands one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, upon our altars, God, upon the altars of our hearts, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you for the fresh fire that, Lord, you came and bestowed upon us tonight and throughout today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fresh word, God, that's going to push us forward in our hearts. And God, as a body, we just say thank you. And Lord, we just, Lord, declare and decree that during this week, we'll have you at home Monday through Saturday. Father, our altar does not die with Sunday service. But God, we thank you, Lord, our fire and our altar will continue to burn all the way throughout the week. So, Father, we just pray a blessing over your people. We pray a blessing over all those watching online. And God, we thank you. You are with us even as we go this week. You are with us, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. And God, we thank you, Lord, that the fire will continue to burn stronger and stronger and stronger. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's give God some praise tonight. Amen. Woo! Amen. Wow, wow, wow. Well, both messages today were just an on-time word. And, man, I encourage you to go back and watch the live stream again. Don't let what was spoken today fall by the wayside. But I encourage you to go back again and dwell on that word, meditate on that word, and let it permeate inside you and penetrate your spirit. And, man, God will continue to blow your mind even on this word we heard today. So, man,
Pastor David,
yes.
And how they can do that and go rehearse, podbean.com.
Yes.
If you're not connected there, you can listen audibly to the message, or they can watch the video by how.
Or you can watch the video again on our Facebook page by searching Eagle Heights Worship Center and just going and watching it again. We encourage you to do that. So we have multiple areas where you can do that. But we just want to encourage you to feed on the Word of God this week as you go every single day. I know I've been challenging myself to continually feed on His Word, and it has brought so much sensitivity in my life. And, man, I'm just feeding on that. So we want to encourage you to do that way. Let's go ahead and give a hand clap of praise for Apostle. Thank you, sir.